What's up, y'all? It's 10 at 3 time at Tennessee. How are you? I hope you're doing well here on this Monday, February the 16th, 2026. Wes Rucker here alongside Lord of the Streams, Tom Barclay here on a Monday.
Howdy. It's Monday.
Man, I got a serious case of the Mondays today. And I don't...
It looks like someone's got a case of the Mondays.
Well, and see, this doesn't... The reason that, you know, in sports, we don't normally... Like, our work schedules are different, right? So it's like... A lot of people, and even some people in the news world, are able to make something resembling 9 to 5 or 10 to 6 or, you know, 8 to 4.
Lord knows we try. It ain't not usually possible.
Not usually possible, no. But like in sports, we're always covering things that are happening when most people are not working. So, you know, it's, you know, weekends and nights, and it's just a little different setup. And so normally, like on Mondays, people are like, oh, I got a case of the Mondays. And I'm like, I don't know, like we worked all weekend. So it's like a normal day sort of.
I mean, you know,
it's sports, like the kids are home or the kids are not home, you know. Like
typically there are sports on the weekends. I don't know if people are aware of this, but.
But the reason it's
a popular time for sports.
It's a case of the Mondays because it's like we've had the HVAC people and the plumbing guys at our house for I think it's about 3 weeks now doing just a bunch of different stuff. And I think, knock on wood, at least for now, I think today got finished.
Okay.
But got finished just in time to get the plumbing back on, to take a shower and hustle over here.
Uh-huh.
And then do Robin's, you know, show at 10 at 2, which love. If you haven't watched it, go back and watch
it.
Yeah,
it was a great inaugural episode.
Yes.
There.
And it's just a better way for even more people to get to know even more the, as I call her, the Queen of Knoxville. And so there's lots to do there. And then trying to hustle and get ready for here after this. It's just been a lot, and there's no school today, obviously. So had the kid running
holiday
around until the parents could come over and take him. And so you got the dog going after the plumbers, the in and out of the house, the kid going nuts. Just, you know, a little tired.
Understandable.
No complaints. Absolutely love my life. Love this job. No complaints. Please do not take this the wrong way, but if you see some baggier bags under these eyes than usual today, just know that it's one of those days,
mm-hmm.
and that hopefully tomorrow will be a little more sleep, a little more raring, a little more up at 'em and going. But I'm hoping that there was all of the things that happened over the weekend should give plenty of ammunition to kind of get this thing up and going, right? Let's get this rolling, you know, artillery barrage going, because that's what... Sort of the weekend was sort of like that. It was, you know, normally we say we'll see in 23 hours.
Yeah.
Except for on Friday, we say, unless something crazy happens, we'll see in 71 hours. And in those 71 hours, where to begin?
I mean, there were it's like every sport, you know, except for like football.
And they got a new cornerbacks coach. So, yes, even that happened over the weekend, too.
You're right.
Add that to the list.
So, yes,
they'll fell from a good hire that is a guy that Jim Knowles worked with for 8 years at Duke and knows him very well. And, you know, he's not maybe quite the seen as the up and coming young rising star as the man who left for the Los Angeles Rams. But again, that's a really good staff they put together over there on defense, and this is a guy he knows well, so it makes sense. But see, that normally would be big news. It maybe not the top five things that happened over the weekend.
I feel like this weekend was just jam packed full of, you know, full of sports. Wow!
in the Joey Aguilar situation, it's President's Day. Not expecting obviously anything to come out today, but anytime tomorrow on, basically we're on watch for the ruling to come out and get, you know, read, announced, released, however it is that they do those things. And so we'll keep monitoring that. There's not a lot to say other than what we said on Friday when we kind of were able to break in, you know, a little bit during the show and go over there to the hearing and released going into it that he was not going to give a verdict or a hearing from the ruling from the bench that day. And so I didn't like go check on him over the weekend or whatever, go to his house, knock on the door and be like, hey, which way are you leaning on this one? Chancellor, your honor, which way are you leaning on this old Judge Haggerty?
But showed up at his brunch place, you know.
Yeah, just, hey, you know, so I noticed you were driving by.
You have like the newspaper, you drop it down, you know, you're like, hey.
Oh, fancy meeting you here at the place where you always have Sunday lunch. You know, so I didn't. We're waiting. The latest that we know, mm-hmm. is what the public knew from the end of that hearing. So however you felt about that Friday at 3:30 or 3:45, whenever they wrapped it up, that's however you probably feel now. You know, probably more optimism than pessimism, slightly less optimism than going into it, but still probably if you were to wager, I think it's still better than a coin flip that he'll win that. But, you know, even if he does, we'll see where things go from there. I would imagine that the NCAA would very much want to appeal that case, and I would not blame them for doing that. So we'll just see where all that goes. But if that injunction is granted, I don't know that these things to get scheduled, sometimes it can be a few weeks, sometimes it can be more than a year. It just, I don't know when they would be able to get to that. So my thought would be if he wins that ruling, there's a very strong chance that he would be playing football for Tennessee next season. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, reported what, $2 to $4 million salary or whatever it was that he'd be making, which, hey, nice chunk of change if you can get it. And that's one of the reasons why he's in court arguing for that. So we'll see what's going on there, but just so much more to discuss. I guess the most recent thing would have been the Lady Vols coming so close against Texas yesterday, falling short, played better. And if we get some time, we'll talk about that, because I thought the end of both halves were big bummers. And there at the end of the fourth quarter, you get that timeout, you're right there, you get to advance the ball, you're past midcourt, you got 6+ seconds. They tried to go, obviously, where you get the person who you want to take the shots, the person who's inbounding it. And so Talaysia Cooper knocks, you know, mm-hmm. tosses it in. And then Texas does the smart thing and just immediately goes with her anyways. And so Tennessee was trying to clearly dump it back to her and then have her make something happen. And Texas just kind of busted it up. They played good defense. I don't think you're ever going to get a foul call in that situation. I don't think there was enough to kind of cross that threshold. So good fight for Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
And we've talked about this for the Lady Vols. When they're not making a whole bunch of threes, and can they win those kind of low-scoring defensive slugfest kind of games, could they have a plan B? And in that game, you saw the makings of one that could be something, because mm-hmm. Texas is a very good basketball team, your Final Four national title contender, right? And so close, better, certainly better, but you also feel like when you get that kind of an effort on your home floor, you just really feel like you should push that over the top and get that win. And, you know, to not even kind of get a shot up at the end was just, even if you're throwing up a bad looking shot, just get something toward the rim, right? It's like in baseball, when you take strike three, even though it's borderline, it's close enough, take the bat off your shoulder, right? Or, you know, in football, right, it's like get the ball into the end zone, throw the ball into the end zone, get the Hail Mary into the end zone. If it gets broken up, it gets broken up, but get there, give yourself a chance, right? And so you have analogies like these in all kinds of sports, but you get that close. You want to get something out of it. You want to get the ball up there. You want to at least drive hard and give the official a tough call to make. And so that's frustrating, because when you feel like there were so many times during that game where they had a chance to really mm-hmm. kind of do a little more, but it was better. And I'm not going to sit here and say that it wasn't. It absolutely was better. But they answered the bell from what had been a rough couple of weeks. So that's good. But you always wonder when a team kind of gets to that point where, you know, you really want to turn things around and you give a really good effort, an effort that maybe would be enough to get you over the top a lot of times, and it doesn't get you over the top.
For sure.
You wonder, is there, you know, are they going to keep pushing? Mm-hmm. Or is that kind of like a, you know, like a really, you know, kind of aggressive, like death rattle or whatever? Like, you know, will they be able to bounce back from this, or will this kind of be, okay, we tried to get on the horse, it didn't work, we're on the ground again, we ain't getting up. So we'll see. Obviously, there's still some really tough games to go, and then the postseason, but they've gotten through a lot of that gauntlet that was in front of them. So, mm-hmm. and they ended it better than they started it. So that is sure. a good thing. And a couple of days before that, they got the win they absolutely had to get had to get that one for many reasons. They almost won it twice, right? One game. And so there was that. But then in much better Lady Vols news, the Lady Vols softball team, at least in one poll, has gone up to number one nationally after just destroying the field down there and just beating up on some ranked teams, really good teams, just slobber knockers.
Not really a surprise, though, I don't think.
Giving them a little what for. Them some what for.
The margin of win for sure was just, I mean, nothing short of impressive.
Like, if we know they got like the pitch.
Nine hits and nine points in one of those games.
Had 11 runs in one of them, 11-1, I think. And they beat some really, I mean, top 10 ranked teams. It's preseason, so you never really know exactly how things will settle. Especially in this kind of NIL year-to-year world. 9-1
against that one of the Florida
State. And beat up on UCLA, beat up on Nebraska. Just, we know with that team, we know they got the pitching.
Oh, yeah.
Not just because Carlin Pickens is there, but because ever since the Weeklies have been at Tennessee, right? And I say the Weeklies as if they're both still there. Now it's Karen's show, obviously. They're not co-head coaches. Ralph's retired. It's her ship to run now. He's still around, obviously. Wreck-em Ralph, he's still in there. But I think they've always been able to pitch. The question has been, would they hit enough to really, really get over the top? Because they've been right there on the precipice a couple times. And that was before Oklahoma really got going and became the force they are. Texas, we know how good they are. And so we know Tennessee softball is always going to pitch. Even behind Pickens, they got, it looks like four of them, that they got three youngsters behind Pickens that I think, three other pitchers that I look pretty good. They're not throwing a billion miles an hour like she is, but some good stuff. And so they have pitching. And even when Carlin Pickens leaves, they're going to have pitching then too. They always have pitching. Do they have enough offense? That's always the question. Because if they will hit, then they could beat anybody because you know the pitching is going to keep them in the game. Other than the odd here or there, you have a bad game, somebody runs into one, it's metal. Say this all the time. It's heavy metal for both college baseball and college softball. It is metal. So all you need to do, miss a spot by an inch or hit your spot, and still the strength, the technique of these hitters, they're going to run into some. They're going to get them out of the yard. Or you're going to have a day where you make a bobble here or there defensively. Things happen.
It does.
So they're going to have the odd game here or there where it doesn't go well. But they are almost always going to pitch really, really well. But if they're going to hit like this too, then if they're going to keep hitting too.
They're going to keep this is a little ridiculous, honestly.
I mean, it's funny because it's still, it's 2 weeks into the season. So it's like, hey, let's not get too excited yet.
It could be, a headwind or not.
But I mean,
here, I
just the way that, looked good, really good.
Yeah, it looked real good.
Really, really, really good. So, congratulations to them. They are at least, I have not seen all the polls come out yet, but the ones I did see, they did get up to number one in one of the polls. So, and they were number three. So, it's not like there was, number three in one poll, a little bit lower in one poll. Yeah. So not a lot of room to go up, but still, I think if you're going by resume, if you're going strictly by resume, which again, 2 weeks into a season, I don't think that's the time for the resume argument. That's like Tennessee baseball now, we'll talk about them later. One weekend beat the tar out of a team they're supposed to beat the tar out of.
True.
But went up maybe one spot in the polls. Like it's not early in the season. We don't know. We don't know. There's so many things we don't know. And we don't even know what we don't know yet. Mm-hmm. That's how early things are. So there's going to be a disparity between some teams that go out of the chute playing really tough opponents and some who like to kind of ease their way in. It's like you step into the baby pool, then you kind of go to the shallow end. You don't always just go straight to the high dive. Some people do, but some don't. And so they didn't do that. They've gone for the most part, just right into a high dive. So their resume, inarguably the best in the country, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're the best team because it's a couple of weeks. We don't know.
We don't know
anything. And so
there's an endurance factor in there,
but if we're judging things based solely on what we have seen, a lot of optimism there.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of optimism there. A lot of momentum now. keep it going. You've got an absolute star right there on the mound. If you're going to hit the ball a little bit, get some good mojo going, hey, you could be right there. You could be right there again. You could be knocking down the door right there, which they've done before, but maybe get through the door. So we could talk about that too. Obviously, there'll be plenty of baseball talk throughout the day as well. Tennessee did take care of Nichols, and I was able to see all but maybe three innings of that series because the way Saturday was structured.
I mean, you had a lot on your plate. Header. Yeah, you had a lot on your plate that.
Well, and so you show up on campus. Yeah. You know, supposed to be – they structured this where it's supposed to be baseball game. Then, hey, you get the stuff. Then you go across the street, do a little bit of basketball. Boom, Bob's your uncle. There's a good day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sunday's forecast, you may have noticed, rained quite a bit yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And so even on that turf, they knew ahead of time. By Friday night, they knew, hey, Sunday looked bad. Let's just go ahead and play two on Saturday.
Yep.
So kind of a – I mean, for Tennessee, it's definitely a bummer because that's a day's worth of, you know, hot dogs and brews and things that could have been sold and weren't. But, you know, because you're competing against basketball for some of this. So got over there, able to cover the first game in full, wait 45 minutes, second game starts.
Mm-hmm.
And just very quickly out the gate, they were just all over them in the finale. Nichols had run out of pitching, no mm-hmm. chance. And so was able to see all but about three innings of that before I just kind of had to get across the street as they were kind of announcing the starting lineup for the basketball game.
Yep.
And there you go, hit the ground running, right? That's why, again, there was love this job. There's just a lot going on over the weekend. So there was that, you know, to discuss. We'll get to the baseball. We'll get to the men's basketball because I was able to see those in person for either all or almost all of those. But I did want to lead off because that softball team, to me anyway, you get top billing out. You go do that. You get to be A1 above the fold. Mm-hmm. You do that, you get to be A block. You do that, you are. Yeah. That's an A block material kind of week to do what they did. I'll say this really quickly before we go to break here. And before that, just they opened, right? They go in there. BYU 10-0, number 21 Liberty 6-1. Just smashed Rutgers 9-1. Boston College wins 6-0. Number 5 Oregon 2-0. That was they had to fight for that one, but they got
it. They got it.
Okay. Number 11 Nebraska beat them 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
James Madison 11-0.
11-0.
Wait till you see some of these.
I was gonna say keep going down the line. You know, see that UCLA
number 23 Florida Atlantic they beat 8-0. That's a ranked team in six innings. Number 6 UCLA
Mercy
wears one 11-0 in five
ridiculous.
Innings.
Ridiculous.
And then ending it in the Sunshine State against Florida State and just wrecking them 11-1, hitting the ball out of the yard, getting a lot of strikeouts. I mean, they've been down there.
It's kind of absurd when you get down to it.
Clearwater, Florida, the past couple weeks has seen quite enough of these Lady Vols. They're like, thank you.
Please.
Thank you.
Enough.
And then next week, interestingly, they will be in Birmingham, Alabama, interestingly, mm-hmm. next weekend. And I got to tell you, if I'm Missouri State, UAB, Mercer, and Southern Illinois, I am not feeling good about what's coming into my park next week.
I almost went to Missouri State.
The Bears?
Yeah, the Bears or the Bruins, I guess, in 1.2. I think they've been the Bears
now. Yeah. And then after that, they will be home at Sherry Parker Lee Stadium. February 27th and 28th, playing several games. And then March 1st, obviously, too. They'll be playing Penn State, Appalachian State, mm-hmm. and NC Central. So they will be home fairly soon, and then they stay home for a while. And they got that SEC opener March 6th against LSU, which is off to a little bit of a slow start, but a great program. So lots to discuss about them, and we got a whole season to talk about them. And let me tell you, we are going to be talking about them because they are good. But there's also a lot of the things that I did see in person, not just second screening and being able to watch on the iPad here, was able to see the men's basketball, was able to see the baseball. We're going to talk about those things after we get to a break right here, and we'll be back just a couple minutes, 10-3. Struggle busting it today, Tom.
I feel you. I really, you know, I debated whether I was going to get a caffeinated beverage at lunch. I did not. I regret it.
I am mainlining cold brew today, just mainlining it.
I saw you bringing those energy drinks. You
I didn't open one of those yet. I've been going in through the cold brews. The cold brew coffees. Not the traditional cold brew you're thinking about. Come on now, we're professionals here.
I think most of us were thinking coffee though, honestly.
I would hope so.
I hear cold brew, I think coffee now.
That's probably accurate. But there's just dragging it today because there was so much going on over the weekend and you mm-hmm. don't even know where to start. You're like, where of these like five or six things that we got to talk about, where do we even start with this? And was able to run in here just before Robin's show today and finally mm-hmm. get going. I was like, about to slap myself in the face, like, let's go, wake up, let's get it going. Just having in rare poor form today, I think. I'm just throwing that out there.
Almost yawned.
Now, you might think, you viewers out there, you might be thinking, this guy's keeping it together. Let me tell you, between these ears today, it is a disaster. And you're probably seeing it. And 30? A lot of you are probably saying, it might be even worse today than normal. And for those of y'all, I'm sorry. But, let me tell you, the hamsters up here, mm-hmm. they're sprinting. But the wheels not moving a lot. It's kind of like frozen pipes. It's just not
little.
You know
little
what I mean?
Rusty.
Just not good. Need some WD-40.
10 seconds.
We will get it going. Get it going.
Get it going.
Get it going. Welcome back to 10 at 3, Wes Rucker and Tom Barclay in here on a Monday, February the 16th, 2026, talking a lot of Tennessee sports that happened over the weekend. And to give you a little more extension into how things are going today, my pen not working. This is not my favorite pen. I can't find my favorite pen. I think it's somewhere in the office mm-hmm. around the floor, hopefully on the floor. Hopefully I didn't lose it. It's my favorite pen, but went with the backup. And let me tell you, it's the backup for a reason, because it's not working. It's not working.
Well.
And it's just not, it throws off, it takes an already kind of frazzled day.
You're just going to have to make mental notes. And it's just the reality of the situation.
Just the way it is, because that's what, normally I write down things here, and I keep kind of in vain, hoping that if I keep, I'm like, maybe there's some ink still in here. Maybe I can just kind of jar it loose.
You just tried like scribbling like. Wild,
basically, but it's mostly indention at this point. That's what it is. So I'm gonna have to give up on it. But speaking of things that didn't go well, what did go well? For the most part, was the Tennessee basketball game on Saturday. Yeah. The Vols, not what you would call a perfect performance. Not even what you would call a very good performance. Maybe not quite good either, but it was acceptable.
Now we're not selling.
No.
I thought we were about to get in some positive news over here, and now we're talking acceptability.
It was acceptable. It was what it needed to be. The bar was not super, super high, although I think it was a little higher than you think it was. I'll talk about that in a second.
I think it should be pretty high, actually.
But just in terms of what they needed for performance to win that game, because LSU has been in most of the games it's played, but it's lost. Obviously, the SEC record, not good. And LSU's two leading scorers were not able to play in that game off a team that's not great anyway. And so it's not – a 73-63 win in that game.
That would look really good.
Tennessee did technically cover the spread, so I think we need to be fair about these things. Sure. But I think if they had known all along that LSU's couple stars wouldn't have been playing, I think the line would have been a little bit higher than that. Mm-hmm. But it was, I think, and I've gone back and watched parts of it too. Normally I can go back and kind of click through a lot of it and get through it pretty quick again. On a rewatch, making a couple notes, some things that I thought, because sometimes you think something during a game, we all do this, but then if you watch it again, and especially if you watch it when you're not, on deadline, trying to get a digital copy in, trying to get down to the court to do, the TV stuff on camera, there's basically during a game, there are times, and I, again, this is just full disclosure, there are times where during a game you think you know what happened, but you really don't. And so you couch your thoughts a little bit, which you should do all the time anyway. But you're especially judicious because we have to have, or I got to have like a digital story, a game recap done at the horn so we can get it on the web so we can send it out.
You know, I know where your feelings
are. And so you can send it out, and then you got to make sure, you know, you got it spelled right, numbers right, all these things, facts matter. And then get it on the site, get it curated, get it sent out on the text alerts, do all these things.
Within like the minute
Within a minute of the game ends.
Which is pretty, yeah, like I said, I know this.
The story's got to be ready. Like several hundred words have got to be ready to go. So you're writing it during the game.
Yep.
And then as soon as that's done, you go hustle down to do the presser, which if you're lucky, you make it right on time for that. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you go onto the court and we do the talking. We do the news for the evening, late night, sometimes live, sometimes not, depending on what time the game is. And then we wrap some stuff, shoot some stuff for the next morning. And so then you go back in and you start editing things, and then you just get home and you kind of collapse, and it's great. But my point is, there are people who are either watching the game at home or on television who will occasionally see things that I didn't see. And it should be the reverse of that.
I feel like you're about to hear, you're going to hear from them, right?
It's not an excuse, because it's just a fact that there are times where I will think something, but I'll be very careful how I say it, because I'm like, oh, what if I have that wrong? Because I'm doing a million things at once. Mm-hmm. Whereas if somebody's at a game, they may not have access to all the stats in real time and all that, but they are watching the game. Yeah. They are dialed into it.
Dialed into the moments.
They can read something. Because there are times where, you know, if I'm just watching a game that I'm not covering, you're always thinking. It's like it's kind of like when stand-up comics watch other stand-up comics and they think about things that they think of it. It's almost kind of mathematics to them. It's kind of you're processing, okay, what would I be writing here? What would the lead be? What would I be saying on camera? And sometimes I come up with better stuff for those in the moment than I do the ones I'm actually covering, because that's just how it works. That's life. And so my point is, I thought during that game, I don't think Tennessee played that bad. I really don't. I think a lot of this was things LSU was doing well. And it's like, but I want to be careful, because Tennessee did run onto that 12-point lead and then temporarily lost the lead again at a big lead, then lost it. And so it wasn't great, obviously. I knew at the time Tennessee could and should have played better than it did, even though it bounced back, covered, all good. But in that moment, I thought, you know, I don't think they played that bad. I think LSU did some things Tennessee wasn't quite ready for, because Tennessee had planned for a couple of those guys to maybe play. Mm-hmm. And without those guys, what happens is you've prepared a scouting report and you think you're going to get this offensively, this defensively. And what happens is, even if it's another team's best player or two, there's guys that will be put in situations that you didn't prepare to face them in. And they will run things on offense and defense that they don't normally run, because they don't have guys that normally things run through. So sometimes that actually can be, in a very short space, can be a boost for the other team. Not for you. It could be a boost for the other team. And I thought, you know, LSU didn't play a lot of zone. They were in zone in that game. LSU was doing some things offensively with the movement that, when I've seen them this season, I hadn't seen some of that stuff before. And they were making shots. Tennessee was just blasting them on the glass, because that's what Tennessee does. Mm-hmm. But LSU was taking really good care of the ball, really good care of the ball. Only 3 turnovers, which against the Tennessee defense is nuts. Even if this Tennessee defense is like top 10 good, not top 3 good, still a really good defense. It's a Rick Barnes coach team, so it's very structurally sound defensively. And LSU, with some different guys handling the ball, different guys serving as leading scorers, they handled it, man, in a tough road environment, loud, hostile. And I thought, you know, I want to hear what Rick thinks about this, because I strangely don't think Rick's going to be that angry. I think fans are going to be angrier than he is. because, of course, you know, fans have seen Tennessee blow a couple big leads and almost did it again. And you see LSU playing without a couple guys, and you think, got to win this game by a billion points, right? At home, dark mode. You got the, you know, the students are dressed in all black. You're playing all the emo music. You got you got the, like, you know, in addition to the
one with the little the filter with the hair the emo hair. That was, that was great.
And Emily was so mad. She's like, how did I have to be the one that missed emo night? She's like, that's in my wheelhouse. My
scene, yeah.
I was like, you're a cheerleader. You're not emo. What are you talking about? But she's like, no, I'm both. And so, okay, be whatever you want to be, right? And so, but you had like the actual guitarist out there, you know, just cranking the Metallica mid court, playing the actual guitar before the game.
Metallica emo?
No, but it was 90s.
Oh, okay.
So like, and Tennessee normally Tennessee normally plays Enter Sandman and then another song and then takes the floor. Yeah. And I actually had the guitarist, they've done this the second time I've seen him do this, where in addition to playing the song, they actually had the guitarist out there, you know, rocking out there on the floor on a stage. And so I thought, I don't think Rick's going to be as mad as you think he is. And Rick came out, and sure enough, made me feel better because he felt the same way I did about it. And the thing, one of the things I really appreciate about Rick Barnes is that he will tell you exactly what he thinks. I mean, exactly what he thinks. If he likes something, if he doesn't like something, how much he likes it, how much he dislikes it, if he loves it, if he hates it, if he's not sure, he will tell you exactly what he thinks. He does not care who hears anything that he says about anything at any time. It's just how he is. And he came out there after the game, and of course, he treats other coaches with class all the time. That's just how he is, right? I mean, maybe he doesn't love Todd Golden, but I don't think anybody does like Todd Golden, really, Florida's coach. But other than that, I think he does pretty good with everybody. And you know, McConnell is a guy who's from Oak Ridge, right down the road, right? I mean, LSU's coach is an East Tennessean. He coached at Chattanooga for a spell in his career, too. So he's someone that Rick Barnes, I think, would naturally say pretty good things about anyway. But he came out in that game and he said, I could sit here all night and tell you how good of a coach McConnell is. And I could tell you that because, again, what we just went through to play them, not fun. He said they were playing without a couple starters and they threw out some stuff that they gave us a hard time. They're like, it's stuff you just didn't expect to see from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I was right. He's not, because I'm wrong enough to appreciate being right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm wrong enough to appreciate being right. And I just thought, you know what? Tennessee could have played better. But some of that was LSU, just rising to the occasion, meeting the moment, making shots, hanging around, being tough, having some swagger about them, and making that a fight. It's not easy in that building. I mean, you know, the Kentucky thing is fresh in everybody's mind. But other than Kentucky the past 2 years, Tennessee doesn't lose at home. And really, the past 5-6 years, Tennessee does not lose at home very often.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tennessee leaned on the crowd, got back into it, made some big plays, got it done. But I'm not bothered by that performance. I think given the way things went against Mississippi State, another big lead, they got a little too close there in the second half. LSU, you're up 12 in the first half, and then all of a sudden, midway through the second half, you're down by a point, right? And how does this happen again? It's clearly a concern. No one's going to sit here and say it's not a concern. It is a concern. Fair is fair, and that is a fair concern. No question. Full stop. However, they have in the past couple games rebounded from that. They have done, you know what I think are some pretty good things. They really have. They've been able to bounce back, and they've fought through that, and I think they've done some good things. And I think, and I'll keep saying this, I'll keep saying this until this season ends, because once the season ends, it's done. But I still think this team can be pretty good. I wouldn't like it to beat Florida. There's a couple teams out there that I just would not love the matchup unless Tennessee was really on point. Because if you can physically bang with Tennessee, if you are capable of withstanding Tennessee physically, the assault that's going to get done for 2 hours against you, and you can make some shots, if you can be as tough as them, you might make more. You'll probably make more shots than them. So if you're as tough as them, you're right there. So if you're a team that has that capability, but also maybe can score a little more efficiently than Tennessee can, that's not a good matchup for Tennessee. You don't want to play somebody who can do what you do at that level and do other things. That's the kind of matchup that's bad news. Florida's bad news matchup for Tennessee. Other than that, I still think this team has the ability to keep getting better. I think it has a chance to put together a good march. Now, it also could lose in the first round. It could lose in the second round. That could happen. I'm not going to sit here and tell you otherwise. All right? There's enough parity, and that team's not so good that it can just kind of eke it out. They got to play pretty well. But they are physically so good on the glass. If the big men finish a little bit and they make just enough free throws and they commit just a reasonable number of turnovers, keep it in single digits. They can do those things. They can beat anybody. I think they can get better. Nate Amon's playing through some things right now physically. A knee, I don't know what it is. Something's bothering him. But he's playing through it. He's making, he's getting hacked to death every game and not getting a lot of the calls. But hey, that's life. You gotta fight through that. I still think watching this team, I thought they should have been ranked this week, and they're still again right outside the polls. The computers like this team more than the voters do. And honestly, I think the computers like this team more than its own fans like it a lot of the time, if I'm being honest. And hey, that's fine. Fans can be demanding. That's their right. And this team does drive you nuts. It drives you nuts. But I don't think we've seen the best this team can play. And if you can get into the fight in March, if you get a ticket to the dance, and we don't think we've seen your best yet, that can be glass half full, glass half empty. Because it's a concern, but if they can do a couple of things, Ethan Berg now playing a little better. There's some things that – it was one game. But, you know, Mo Abram getting a little healthier, hopefully after he got really sick last week, didn't play. J.P. Estrella starting to play through some things, had another good performance over the weekend. And Nate Amon's a star. And Jacoby Gillespie, at least until we'll see the late in games, but for 35 minutes at least, this dude's a star. One of the best guards in the country on paper. Look it up. Our good friend of the show, you know, Evan Mike Howell, does all that stuff. One of the top 4 point guards in the country by metrics, proven data, what you do on the floor, offensively, defensively, here's what you are. He's one of the best. So if they had played their best to this point, you should be concerned. I don't think they have. And you can still be concerned. But, hey, take care of business against Oklahoma on Wednesday. Got a tough one Saturday going to Vandy. We got a whole week to talk about that one. But take care of Oklahoma first. Got to eat your vegetables. Win that game. That's the third of Tennessee's eat your vegetables games. State, LSU, Oklahoma. Games you should win. Eat your vegetables. Win those games. And so far, they're 2-0 in that. And if they can go 3-0, that's good. Get some momentum going because you're in for a fight Saturday in Nashville. You are in for a fight. That is a good, not great, but a very good basketball team. So looking forward to that. We can also, you want to feel good about stuff, Tennessee baseball got going over the weekend. And I think Tennessee baseball has a couple of new stars. Early days. But I think some stars there. We're going to talk about that coming back here in just a minute. Go take care of some commercial responsibilities. We'll be right back here on 10 at 3. Powering through.
Trying. I am trying my best over here, I swear.
I can promise you this, viewers, listeners. You're going to have more energy in here tomorrow because
you better get some sleep
because I am not sure that I have ever had less energy while sitting in here and doing this.
Okay.
Just one.
You don't seem out of it.
That's good. Then I'm you fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Just tired today. And I think also there's just so much to talk about.
Well, there's that.
And I can't, and my pen's not working,
here's a funny thing, and I don't know if you get this too, is it whenever it gets like starts getting kind of warmish outside from winter, do you get those days where you just feel like, man, I just need to take a nap? Like, even if you had a good
a little
sleep.
Bit, but I get...
I'm getting that right
I
now,
mean,
I
know it's a real thing. I'm not making light of it at all, but, like, I do get that seasonal affective because I just hate the cold. I hate it with every fiber of my being and my soul. I hate it. And so days like today, normally I get a little bit more pep in the step. I can go outside. Mm-hmm. I think, hey, man, I'll be working in this yard pretty soon.
Yeah,
nothing.
I mean, I love
it. Other than
it.
My friends and
Trust
other
me,
than
I
my
love
family...
It.
There is really nothing that I love more than
just so
than being
pleasant
out in the yard
out there.
Working.
You feel like this. It's
I'm
like
a green thumb, man. I got the greenhouse. I got the right. I got the grow. I got grow all kinds of stuff, all legal.
Nothing sprouting yet.
No, but it's. I'm going to be planting 30? Some stuff inside pretty soon. Going to start some of the tomatoes and peppers inside. Get them going there inside under the indoor grow lights, and then. Toss them outside when we're past the freezing. Maybe put them in the greenhouse in between.
Yeah, this is I don't envy any gardener in East Tennessee. 15.
You gotta be.
You never know when a freeze is coming for you during this time of year.
Yeah, but none of the roses blooming yet. Obviously, hopefully soon. Welcome back to 10 at 3. Wes Rucker coming to you with Tom Barclay here on a Monday, February the 16th, 2026.
Exhausting Monday.
It's a grinded out kind of thing. And we'll have a little bit more on the Tony Vitello thing in a little bit. He had some interesting thoughts coming out today about when he left Tennessee. And I also think some of this is San Francisco media have not yet figured out some of
Tony's quirks. Actually, this is going to be fun to once they start realizing who's in town.
Granted,
he won't be as visible.
All the random non sequiturs.
Yeah.
Oh, because you know, I mean, hey, baseball, you're talking to the writers before and after every game, like
Very
in their
true.
Clubhouse is open. Like, hey, you're doing it, and so, but they'll get to know some of his quirks, like things where you think you just randomly he just won't be in a good mood one day about something that, and he'll tell you what it is. He might make a. And he'll make kind of vague references that are sort of passive aggressive, and you know he's Tony, he's quirky,
sure.
And so I think some of the day were like, what's he talking about? Why he left the Tennessee job? What's he talking about this for today? For whatever reason, maybe a little bit of emotions that he saw being away from Tennessee for the first time during the opening weekend.
You know, it's pining for the not the better days for him necessarily. But
I every time somebody says pining for anything,
you're thinking of fjords. I know you're
pining for the fjords.
Pining for fjords. I knew you were going to say that. How did I know?
This is a dead parrot.
It has
ceased to be.
It is no more.
It is an ex-parrot. Oh, just the pinnacle of comedy, Monty Python.
Yeah.
But I think they're kind of getting used to some of Tony's quirks. So I'm not going to read too much into that, but he talked about leaving Tennessee and how tough it was and yada yada. And you know, that it would have been, and I understand it. It's a ballpark that he's the reason, one of the, not the only, but certainly the main reason that's gone from being a joke to one of the better parks in America. And now it's starting to look like it physically too.
Yep.
And so this was supposed to be almost kind of a coronation type weekend in some ways. And he wasn't there, and I get it. It's tough, but also, hey, fella, you made a choice. So, you know, you
wanted to be in the big
leagues.
At
the end of the day, you chose.
Yep.
You were offered a lot of money to stay, and it's fine. Like, hey, go, and if it doesn't work out,
I think I think there's a somebody
have
with
no
open arms waiting
shortage
for you.
Of options if it doesn't work
somebody.
Out over there. But what I'm saying is he did make that choice, and so, and we'll obviously we're all. Keeping one eye on the San Francisco Giants. Now, let's be honest. We just saw.
Oh, yeah.
This
it'll
is
be
a,
interesting to see
this
how
is
this
uncharted territory
mm-hmm.
of a coach going directly from college to Major League Baseball with no professional experience as a player or coach. So, yeah, it's – we will see. And having one of, the sixth or seventh largest market in the country, whatever San Francisco is, maybe sixth largest market. That's off the top of my head and just a guess. But I know it's top 10.
Yeah.
I think it's around six or so. A lot of media, a lot of attention. and his kind of quirky, the ticks, the things that, that you go through with him on the daily basis of the roller coaster that you're kind of on, much more ups than downs, but interesting guy. And I think some people are going to be like, what's this guy talking about? You get used to it. Also, if you're in San Francisco, you're in the Bay Area, Oakland, all the way up there, San Jose, you'll get used to it. You'll eventually not be making too much of it because you'll be like, oh, that's Tony being Tony. So yeah, we'll see. But on the field, Tennessee did rechristen, I suppose, Lindsey Nelson Stadium with some fireworks and all kinds of fun stuff over the weekend. Weather for the first 2 days at least held up pretty well. Able to play all three games. Supposed to beat Nichols. They did beat Nichols. So we're not going to make a ton about that. We're not going to sit here and say that this was just, you know, oh my gosh, they're going to win the national championship. They beat Nichols 10-0, 5-1, yeah, and 12-2. And that last game, they really, it was one pitch away from being 12-0. They were one out away from getting out of it, 12-0, and that's it. But a couple runs Nichols scored, and that was that. But they did a lot of good things. And the pitching looked good, really good. Tegan Coons looked like an ace. Thought he was going to be looking like an ace, and he did, right? The next day, touted transfer, young Mr. Mack from Rutgers. Look good. Look really good. Good arm. Good action. You see why he's got some of that Chase Dolander in him. You see it. Your Dolander. You see that little bit of Dolander in him. You see some of that dough. The build physically, the stuff. I get why they make comparisons there. They're the same kind of build, same kind of stuff. Big arm. Kid's got a huge future, right? He'll be off the board pretty early in the draft, and so will Coons when he's able to go pro. And then in the finale, you got Evan Blanco, a guy who was an ace for Virginia a couple years ago, got to Omaha, went through some arm injuries last year, and he did what he does. He threw strikes, gave up some hits, but only singles. He kept a clean sheet. He did his job. The bullpen kind of gave up a little bit there. But Appenzeller, Krenzel, some of these guys out of the pen looking really, 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 really good. And offensively, Blaine Brown, ladies and gentlemen, you talk about star power. You knew when Tennessee was getting Henry Ford that Tennessee was getting a star, a guy who was a star of Virginia. He's even more bigger, physically imposing right now. Going to go off the board early in the draft. Big time guy. Tennessee rolls off the bat. It's like welcome. It's telling opposing pitchers like you just walk into hell in a cell with 2-6, 5-6, 6 guys right at the top of the order. Big power, big pop, light tower power. Ford went yard, had a couple nice hits too, played good defensively over there at third base. He's a versatile defender, can play a lot of places. Blaine Brown put on a show. 3 home runs over the weekend and a couple of doubles that were also just wrecked. This kid. And if you wonder sort of athletically his upside, his dad's Chris Brown, former All-Pro running back for the Titans. And he's a lot taller than his dad, but maybe not quite as fast as his dad, but big kid, 6'5", 6'6", left-handed, lots of power. Lots of balls coming off the bat at 112, 113, 114. Big, big-time power. Fills up the batter's box at 6'5", 6'6". Sweet left-handed swing, and he can pitch. And at some point, we're going to see that because he's got a really good, you know, mid-90s arm up there on the mound too. And this is a fun, fun player. And this guy, here's the good news for Tennessee. He can't go in the draft this year. He's got to wait a year. So assuming everything ends up working well, NIL, all these other things, yada, yada, never know. You get this kid 2 seasons. That is big. And Appenzeller, the freshman pitcher who came out there, the lefty with all that great stuff, Tennessee was shocked he came to school. They were able to fight, scratch, tooth, claw, nail, hammer. they kept him away from going pro out of the draft, going pro out of high school. And he's got to be in school for 3 years, just like Levi Clark was last year. When you get him there, 3 years you got him, unless they're a certain age. And so this Brown cat, let me tell you, the power, how easy that swing is. For a kid who's 6'5", he gets to the ball in a hurry, and he's not overswinging. That's just smooth, natural power. And he is going to, if he's healthy, he is going to hit a lot of home runs this year. A lot. Because, and here's the thing, you got Henry Ford ahead of him, Levi Clark behind him, then Chapman, on and on and on. They're going to hit a lot of home runs. Again, they always do. But you're not going to be able to pitch. It's going to be hard to pitch around some of these guys because of the depth of the lineup. And it's not surprising. Tennessee's had big, strong dudes offensively for years now. But they've not had bigger guys offensively at the plate than the two guys they got this season. In terms of, that's the one kind of interesting thing. Jordan Beck was a big kid. I don't know, about 6'3". They've had a lot of those kind of 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", types. They've not had like some of these guys who fill up the box like, you know, Caglione did. You know, guys who step in there 6'5", 6'6", and are just towers. And you feel like, man, that is a big zone. That's a big, there's a lot of places they could hurt me there. There's a lot of places I don't know the pitches they can't get to right now. Long arms, get to the ball, extend. They could have a ball if they don't even hit that great, goes out of the yard. And Clark, before he finally did hit one out of the yard, hit a lot of Adam balls, a lot of line drives right at people, a lot of Adam balls. But one of their better offensive players, Garrett Wright, couldn't even play over the weekend. And one of their better arms, Brandon Arvidsson, couldn't throw over the weekend. They're waiting another week or two with him, getting him back from a little arm soreness. There's no need to rush him early in the season. You got plenty of time. It's an arm. Be careful with it. But offensively, Josh Elander helped build this thing offensively. And they're looking like a Tennessee offense. They've got some big dudes who have a lot of power. And we'll know about them more in the coming weeks, obviously. I mean, they got play UNC Asheville tomorrow, be there at that game. Then Kent State over the weekend, should take care of business there. Then Bellarmine. But then, in a couple weeks, they go out to Dallas and play UCLA, Arizona State, Virginia Tech. Couple much better games out that way. It's also funny that Tennessee and Virginia Tech are playing each other in Texas when, you know, each of them could throw a baseball halfway and meet in Bristol and play.
You know,
but you know that they're in that tournament.
Not like
all good.
Bristol's ever turned their speedway into
a baseball
field. No, that's never happened.
That'd be fun.
Wouldn't that be wild?
Be like some of these guys. How far can you hit this ball, Tennessee? Can you hit it out of here? Can you hit it over the third? Can you hit it over the third turn grandstand over there? You know, so there's a long way to go, but with this team, with what they've built, the culture kind of seems to still be in place there. They're saying good things about the few new additions to the staff, because a lot of them are guys who stayed, but a couple of them are guys they had to supplement because, you know, they couldn't just promote everybody. But I really, really like what I saw with them opening weekend. I thought I was going to like what I saw.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more to see because, again, a lot to prove, a lot of time. But I think – There's talent there, guys. That's I'm telling you, I know baseball. There's some talent there, big time talent there. So
for sure.
Looking forward to that. And we got a big week of stuff to talk about. The Aguilar news, any day now going forward, starting tomorrow.
We'll hope.
Baseball.
End of week.
Softball, football camp doesn't start too long from now, spring stuff. So, guys, it's here. Multi-sports season, head on a swivel. I'm going to get a little bit more sleep going into tomorrow's show. We're going to knock it out. We're going to have a lot of energy this week.
Sounds good.
A lot of it. Thanks for watching, y'all. We'll see you in about 23 hours.